Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Rear Naked Radio, your weekly MMA review show right here at Rear Naked Radio. Crap, it did it again, didn't it?
What?
Did it, like, cut out on me when I was talking?
Yeah, you were talking, and then you just stopped, but let's keep going, because this is fun.
Welcome to Rear Naked Radio, your weekly MMA review show right here at RearNakedRadio.net. I am Paul Scorch-Laporte. With me, as always, my temporarily brain-damaged co-host, the Ginger Gorilla, Jeff Shooter Graham, and my permanently damaged co-host, Irish Derek Kenny.
Woo!
I missed you guys, too. I really did.
Yeah, whatever. Back in your hole, rabbit.
Thank you for joining us on Rear Naked Radio. We are going to dance around for the next 60 minutes and ask you why you haven't done a radio show of your own. And then when you try and do your own radio show, we're going to go ahead and pull it out from under you.
Okay.
All right. Obviously, a lot of controversy out of UFC 112 last night in both the main event fights. Well, we will be talking about that.
And, yes.
We'll possibly be having former co-host Blake Bowman joining us on the show.
Now occasional guest.
Mystery man. Blake Bowman.
Fresh off Miller Brothers Radio on ShareDog.
That's right. Moving up in the world.
I'll definitely want to hear all about that.
How about getting us a job, Blake?
We made you, Blake Bowman. Now it's time for AB back, sucker. What else before I found you on the streets?
We'll also be going over the Strikeforce card coming up, the impending execution of Jake Shields.
Poor Jake.
Oh, yes.
I'm still going to root for him, so.
Yeah, you have fun.
Yeah, I will. Of course, by rooting for him, you mean barely speak or say anything about him or anything, because, you know, when we actually had him on, you barely said two words.
To Jake Shields? I did the whole damn interview.
I don't remember that at all.
You're high. I did the whole damn interview.
No, you did.
I am.
But you had a couple of herky-jerky awkward questions, and I ran the damn interview.
Hey, Jake.
Yeah,
how you doing?
And,
No, actually, the first two interviews I did on the show with one was with Nate Corey, one was with Jake Shields. I did very well. The last few are the ones that I've sucked terribly.
Boss Rutan.
Yeah, I sucked terribly with that one too.
Yeah, who is Boss Rutan? I don't understand. Well, I don't know anything about this guy. And wait a minute, I don't remember you doing an interview with Nate Corey.
No, I was with you guys when we did the interview with Nate Corey.
I was going to say, because I can call Nate right now and ask him if he knows you. And
no, I didn't
call the right Nate
back
right now and asked him if he knew us, though. Let's be fair.
Oh, he'll remember me because I text him, you know, to the point where it drives him crazy.
Oh, yeah, you butt-dialed him on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, head shooter, happy Thanksgiving, don't call me anymore. All right.
That's awesome. All right, well, we got a lot of show, and I need my dinner.
The very best in quality at mixed martial art radio. Scorcho's got to eat, so we're going to hurry things along. All right, Shooter Sack. Hey, everybody, and welcome to the super-duper concussion version of Shooter Sack.
Welcome to Shooter Sack.
Today is April 11th. 2010.
Okay, since this is the second concussion mention, I would like to just point out that Shooter did manage to slip and fall down the stairs today and cracked his big-ass melon head wide open.
And I'm still here to do the show.
And suffered a self-diagnosed concussion because he's too stupid to go to the doctor.
I've been to the doctor, and as anyone will tell you, once you get a concussion, you know it's a concussion. There's nothing they can do.
Cancer patients say that?
Band-aid. What?
Do cancer patients say that? I've had cancer, and I know what cancer's like, and there's no
comparing cancer to a concussion, that's a little extreme. That's a paper
broken
cut
arm.
To an
I broke my arm before. I know what a broken arm feels like. I'm not going to bother to go to the doctor for it.
Oh, you go to
stupid.
They can't do anything for a concussion.
Yes, but it's better to find out that you have just a concussion than not a cracked skull or something else. Yes, I agree. You have a concussion. You also bashed your head. There could be something else wrong with you, you ginger gorilla monkey retard.
Look, Grandma, I like the cookies raw.
And going to the doctor.
You get me. Okay. Anyway, can we focus on the news of MMA?
Focus on anything right now?
Yeah, I don't know.
How many fingers am I holding up?
I don't know.
I can't see.
Oh, Kenny wants to know why we don't do the unemployment show anymore. By the way, I thank you guys for sending the stuff. Yeah, Scorcho has a job. All right, here we go. First up, Jake Shields. Guess what? Jake Shields is not happy, and he's looking to shake things up.
Okay.
He basically spoke in a recent interview. He doesn't like the way that they're marketing his whole fight coming up with Dan
Watch
Henderson.
Watch Jake Shields get murdered by Dan Henderson.
He says, by them kind of pushing me out of the picture, you know, I'm not really sure I want to stay with Strikeforce, but it's not 100% at this point. He said he's just worried about training really hard, and if I go out there and beat Henderson, it's really going to shake things up and put me in a great situation.
Yeah, that would be true. If I went out there and beat Anderson Silva, that'd shake things up too.
That's true. He said. He also said he talks about wanting to test the free agent market. So I took a risk. I really had the option, of course, to renegotiate my contract before the fight, and I just felt it wasn't really that I wanted to leave Strikeforce. I just felt like I want to be a free agent.
The free agent market. What free agent market? You're either in Strikeforce or you're in UFC. We already know you hate the Japanese, Jake, so you're not going over there.
That's right. I forgot. He hates the Japanese.
Agency. I'm going to sit on my ass for a little while until Dana decides to sign me. Come on. Who are you kidding? Christ.
Dana will. Dana has already said he has interest in Shields. I'm sure he'll throw him one mediocre fight and then feed him to, like, St. Pierre or somebody.
That'd be a very marketable fight, though.
That's the tough thing, though, is who's a mediocre fight in that division? I mean, he beat Semtex before, but Semtex did okay against him. You got Koscheck, who's a tough guy, may beat Shields. You have Alves. You know, you got Fitch. I mean, you can't throw him against a total scrub.
No. Well, maybe he'll even stay at 185. You never know.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
He could fight Kendall Grove. Kendall needs a fight.
Or we have Nate Marquardt, Chael Sonnen, Damian Maia. You know,
Could be Chael Sonnen, I think.
It'd be a good fight.
Maybe he could be Chael Sonnen.
All right.
Sorry. Go on.
Anyway. Marius Pujanowski ready to beat up a soft Tim Sylvia.
Soft. Fleshy, doughy Tim Sylvia.
This is what Pujanowski, in case you guys didn't know, he's a multiple-time world's strongest man.
You've probably seen him on ESPN2 carrying around a car on his shoulders.
Yeah, he likes to carry a car on his shoulders and run with it. He also pulled an airplane and did a few other things like that. Yeah. Anyway, Marius was quoted as saying, Tim Sylvia is already past his prime, and the only thing he thinks about is his paycheck after the fight. When I take him down and start landing my bombs, he will lose every desire to get up. His handshake at the press conference made me realize that he has a very soft body. I love this. He goes,
took you that long?
This is what Marius... By the way, Pujanowski's only had one fight. And
I know.
There's kind of rumors going around that it was not exactly a shoot anyway. But he said, I like big and soft people. They're fun to hit.
Okay.
I have to be careful from his striking in the early minutes of the fight, but I'm still very confident. It will be a great victory for me. In 2 years from now, I would love to fight Fedor Emelianenko. He will rip my head off if we fight today, but 2 years from now will be a very different story. It will be interesting to see the bookmaker's odds for that fight. Okay, so he's already looking 2 years into the future.
Wow. This man's a visionary.
Well, I like that. You know, that's like me saying right now, yes, in approximately 15 years, I would like to fight Fedor Emelianenko. I believe it'll be an interesting fight. He'd kill
Fedor
me now.
Fedor will be old by then.
Exactly. You see, you're getting my point. Fedor will be old. All right. Moving on. Dream Fights. Nick Diaz. He ain't no bitch. He'll be back in action at Dream 15 on May 30th in Japan. And he will be facing Hayato Makusakurai in welterweight action.
Man.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, that wasn't quite what I was expecting. Yeah. See?
What'd you expect?
I don't know, something different. Mark Sakurai, see? Yeah.
Okay.
Dan Hardy talks GSP. Do we really care?
Nope.
Not really, you know. they asked him, would he change They just said he's already talking about a rematch with St. Pierre. And he said he wouldn't have changed anything about their first fight. Even the win, you know, the fact that he lost. He wouldn't change that because now it's spurred him on and he's going to be a much better fighter. Yada. Same thing everybody says when they get their butts handed to him by GSP. Well, except for BJ. He greased ya. He was cheating. Let's see what else. Dana White was nervous about rain in Abu Dhabi. Don't care.
Was it an outdoor arena?
Oh, yeah.
But there was that big UFC thing covering it, though.
Well, still, it was outdoors. Strong wind kicks up. It blows, you know, sand or rain in there sideways.
Sure. Okay.
Whatever.
Everything's about 112 because there was news about 112. I mean, you know, it was quote unquote. You know, what do they call that? What's the word? I'm sorry, I can't think because you know I've got a concussion.
Yesterday?
Well, it's all just about the news, about the controversy from yesterday.
Right.
Enzo, Edgar, BJ. News. Yeah, okay, you know what? I'm done. Roll the music. Sack's finished.
Oh, no.
Everything else is involving stuff that's coming up that we're going to talk about later, and there's no sense in getting into it now. Besides, Scorcho's got to eat.
That's true. Premature ejaculation.
The sack today was brought to you by our friends at OhioMartialArts.com. Be sure to check them out for a traditional approach to mixed martial arts. OhioMartialArts.com.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have Sensei Joe Hertzlers on the show today. I probably should have mentioned that.
Yeah, we probably should. Matter of fact, I should probably text him. Talk amongst yourselves. And I'll let him know we're going to call him here in a minute.
Okay. Well, more like 30 seconds.
Okay.
Shooter's concussed ass. Like, we're going to call you.
Yeah, this is actually a real problem because I told him I'd prompt him 20 minutes ahead of time and then 5 minutes, and like I do all the other fighters, except I totally forgot.
Because you have a goddamn sensei. Concussion.
Oh, dude, leave me alone.
No, not till you go to the doctor. I'm your friend. I care about you.
I'm not going to the doctor. Sound like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. See, Wendy, he just needs to go see a doctor.
I'm gonna call your
bash wife. His brains in.
Talk to your wife and have her break.
Because Amy was actually gonna call you and get me out of going on the show today.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, you can go on the show. I'm like, I'm going on the show. Number one, because as far as Sensei Joe Hertzellers goes, we've been trying to have him on for like 3 weeks. Not this week, sorry. Damn it, we're doing this show. Fastest show ever. You are Sensei Hertzellers. Yes, I am. Good. Thank you. See you next week.
Oh, my God.
It's the fastest show ever until we get Bowman on the line, and then it's going to slow to a crawl.
I can just take a nap, man. Blake can take over and do his thing, and that'll be that. All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and ring-a-ding-ding that number.
All right. Let me punch it in here. Is he ready? Or do we need to stall for time?
Well, no. I will say this. There's a good chance if this goes through, he's got like this screening system, and I thought we'd have a little fun with it. It's interesting, and this is what happens when you call the Martial Arts Center, so just be prepared to follow the prompts.
Oh, shit. I got to hit buttons and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, let me get the keypad up. I hope awesome. This is going to work.
Or he'll surprise me just answer.
Martial Arts Center.
Hello. Please state your name after the tone, and Google Voice will try to reach.
I got it.
Joe Hertzellers.
Hoyce Gracie.
Should have said Enzo.
Yeah. Hoyce Gracie.
I'm not talking to him. Click. It's backfired.
Hey, this is Joe Hertzellers.
Sensei, welcome to Rear Naked Radio.
Hey, Shooter, how are you, man?
I'm very good, sir. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Thank you, sir.
Oh, excellent.
Appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Now we say goodbye to you.
It's kind of like surreal, like hearing you, because, you know, I'm listening to the show usually, and to actually have, like, and I've heard you make a bunch of calls to other people, and so that I can hear you actually call me. This is pretty impressive. I like it.
Well, that's right. You, sir, are easily impressed.
It doesn't take much to impress you then. I mean, if you want, I could do this every day and just call you up. We have breakfast today. All right. Well, let's jump right in. I'm going to ask a bunch of questions, and these guys are going to probably do not much of anything, but that's okay.
Hey, I'll jump in.
But how does that make this show different than any of the others?
Exactly.
Good, sir. I would like to remind you that I do have access to the hang-up button.
Oh, God.
I was just trying to get Shooter to send me some softballs, you know?
All right, here we go. Sensei, you are what people would call a career martial artist, okay? And just give a little bit of background as far as, your professions growing up, stuff like that, and how exactly you came to be in martial arts.
Yeah, well, thanks for the question. I was one of those pretty unathletic kids, and moved around a lot as a kid, and, you know, never really quite found my way. And, when I was about 13, I found a book in a Walden's bookstore called Vital Karate by Masutatsu Oyama. And I thought, you know, I watched reruns of Green Hornet and, you know, different things like that on TV, and I thought, when I saw a book where I saw people doing these things that were real, I thought, man, this is the coolest thing in the world. And I tried as best as I could as any kid could out of a book and spent some time with it. And then when I got a little bit older, I was just, I did different things from that book for a couple of years and, you know, never got very far. And then I got into a real dojo on my 15th birthday, which was my first karate lesson. And it was like the book, but it was in three dimension. And I went, you know, I would see the diagram of a front kick, and then there's three stages of the front kick. And then when I actually saw a real guy do the kick and heard the gi pop for the first time, I just fell in love, and I've been in love ever since.
Now, I mean, obviously, if you listen to the show, and I know you do, I've sent a lot of people over to the website and stuff just to check things out, and it's a pretty comprehensive site as far as what it is you do and stuff. Now, I personally, you know, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but I've spent enough time in the dojo that I've heard you give this speech a couple times. But if you wouldn't mind telling our listeners the difference between, like, a dojo versus a gym.
Sure. I'd be happy to. I mean, here's the thing. The way that, just to kind of give the background of thing, you know, martial arts has gone through such a huge transition. Now, when I started in the 1970s, it was so rich with authentic technique, very tough guys, and people that were really powerful in what they did. But then, you know, throughout the late 80s, there was this huge transition. We love teaching children. I have a great separate children's program, and we want to teach them the character development and all of that. But what really started to happen to martial arts was it lost its teeth. You know, the ranking system became something that people started utilizing as a student retention tool and as a marketing tool. And so it got to the point where people that you know, were graduating through various programs really didn't have good martial arts skills where they could really fight and really defend themselves and do some of the physical stuff that martial arts was based on. It was based on also internal stuff as well. And so just to sort of set the stage with that, so what we saw happen was sort of the rise of the children's, what I like to call the pageant martial arts schools. And I think in a lot of ways, the whole MMA world really was an outgrowth of that, because people started seeing people that had done various forms of martial arts that weren't effective, and they said, let's put this to a test in the ring. And of course, when the Gracies introduced the UFC to the U.S., there was this gigantic explosion. The problem that we have is that much of what's happened in the MMA world is, from a martial arts perspective, is they've sort of thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And what they've done is they have all this incredible technique that is just stellar, and the information and the skills and so on. But there is a piece of the old school, the 1970s martial arts, that involved meditation and involved introspection and involved learning how to discipline the mind. It was a character building thing combined with real physical technique that made martial arts precious. And I think that that's what a real dojo is. A real dojo has that piece to it, that guys can do real things. But simultaneously with that, on the other side, character does count, etiquette does count, courtesy, discipline, respect. I'm trying to make myself a better human being as a consequence of studying the art, not just being the toughest guy on the block.
Right.
Now, you said that you got into martial arts when you were about, when you were younger, when you were about a teenager, and that's when a lot of people get into martial arts, but then, of course, a lot of people, are in it for a couple of years and kind of get out. When did you realize that this is something you wanted to do as, like, your job? You know, this is what you wanted your main source of income to be, is to do martial arts.
Well, for me, really early on in the process, I still to this day, I just admire my teacher. My first karate teacher is Robert Bowles out of Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I just kind of grew up in his dojo, and just anything that he did. And I just thought to myself, this is what he gets to do every day. This is what I want to do. My first job out of high school was working for him. My first job ever was working for him. And I joke with people that my actual first job was one day the dojo, the roof started to leak, and he needed somebody to help him put tar on the roof. And I thought, he's going to actually pay me to spend time near him? I couldn't believe it. And so I always told everybody, I started at the top of the martial arts industry. I started on the roof of the dojo, and that's how I started.
Start at the top and work your way down.
That's it. Work my way inside.
So eventually you're going to be working in the boiler room. That's the ultimate.
That's it.
Furnace operator.
You mentioned that dojos aren't like gyms, and that there is less meditation and discipline and things of that nature. Would you say that Ohio martial arts gyms focus more on self-defense competition, or they are flexible and do both very well?
Yeah, I think we do both very well. But I think, if I had to say there's one thing, like, are we better kickers? Are we better punchers? Are we better at jujitsu? Are we better at... I think if there's one thing, like I said, what are our people the best at? I would love it, and I really mean this. I would love it if people said, their etiquette, their discipline, the way they conduct themselves, that's about the best we've ever seen. I really believe there's something to be said for that. Now, that said, we don't want to wimp out on the thing and say, we don't want our guys to be tough, but we're teachers. We don't promote. We participate in various events and love going and have a fight team, and we just enjoy that process. But the vast majority of people that come to us, if you think about it, this is the way I look at MMA in general. I look at that martial arts kind of like, this is going to sound like a weird analogy, but this is a good one. I look at it as like bicycling. Like, there are tons of people that can benefit from riding a bicycle, and there's lots of places that you can go. And yet, I could be sitting at a restaurant or a bar or something, and I can look up at ESPN and I can see extreme BMX on the half pipe, and there's a set group of people that ride bicycles that want to do that, and we want to have room for those people, and so I think the cage fighting is for that select group. But I think there's a tremendous number of people that want to learn those skills, but maybe they work in an office somewhere. Maybe they're a teacher in school, and maybe they can't afford necessarily to go to work the next day with a cauliflower ear or a broken orbital or any of those other crazy things that can sometimes happen to us.
This is a question that we've asked to a couple fighters, including, I believe, some from your gym. I'd be interested to get an
dojo.
Instructor's I'm sorry, dojo. I'd be interested to get an instructor's or sensei's perspective on this shooter. Thank you. Are you happy? If somebody out there who's, say, listening to this show, one of the four or five people, would be interested in getting into a martial arts class or getting into just mixed martial arts in general or just any sort of martial art, what are some tips that you can give them to find a school that is a good, reputable school and not just some fly-by-night, you know, McDojo, as the saying goes?
Right.
Sure. I'd be happy to. I mean, I think the first thing is there's no substitute for actual investigation. And so often what happens is people make that decision based on the place that's close. And they're, it's very hit and miss, and it's very lucky oriented. So, you know, is there a way that I can get involved? One of my best guys, and I just love him, and he's just a fabulous student of mine. You know, he actually came and watched class, I kid you not, 10 times before he decided to train with us. He watched class 10 times with nobody taking him into a room and doing a private lesson and then trying to sign him up. Just come in and watch and kind of be exposed to it. Read about the philosophy of martial arts. You know, it never hurts anybody. But, you know, you can go to any Barnes & Noble, and they have a great section of books that have the information written that just a few decades ago was hidden. You know, when I started martial arts, there were no videos. There were no videotapes. There was none of that stuff available. There's all of this stuff available, and people can read about the philosophy. And I think that the number one thing is you want to look for a school that does a good job of balancing. We want real, authentic physical technique because it's important that it works. But on the other hand, you want a dojo that also teaches people that it's the internal values of the martial arts, that it's the discipline of the mind that you're going to be using every single day. People, all the number one question I get asked is, have you ever used martial arts against somebody? And I like to say, you know, I use martial arts every single day, but not on a physical level. I use it the way I communicate, even the way I'm communicating with you guys right now. I mean, if it wasn't for martial arts, if you guys hadn't known me, because I was a young kid when I started, if you guys know me when I started, there's no way I could stand and I could speak and I could be in this position today if it wasn't for what martial arts really did for me as a human being. I love sharing that. I'm just passionate about sharing it with as many people as I can.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as, you know, a lot of times too, especially since the explosion, if you want to call it that, of like the UFC and everything, and you know, even to some extent pride fighting and stuff for the hardcore guys, and with the internet and all that, you know, MMA so-called has like just exploded and is so popular. Would you consider what you do, like what you teach at your school, is that one basic style, or do you try to adapt or incorporate, you know, different things, whatever works? How does that work?
Yeah, we really try to be very progressive. And you know, like in my own background, when I started a very strict style of karate. A lot of the karate in the 70s was like that. You know, it was like, this is the style and that nothing else in the world exists. And quite honestly, for a teenager at the stage I was in my life, that was probably really important to me. It's been about probably 12 years now. Ago, I had the privilege of meeting who is my Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu teacher, Gene Dunn, who is out of Brooklyn, New York. And he was, I think, and I hope I'm not getting this wrong, but I think he was the second American that Enzo Gracie promoted to his black belt. One of the very few, anyway, in those days that received his black belt under Enzo. And I started practicing with him, and he is so cerebral in what he does, his mind, the way that he gets around everything. Everything for him is philosophy, and when the other guy pushes, you pull, and when the other guy pulls, you push. And you know, where is your mind when you're doing jiu-jitsu? And I just fell in love with his whole spirit. And then it was just a few years after that, probably the greatest blessing of my life in the last decade was running into a gentleman out of Detroit, Sifu Robert Brown. And I started studying his form of Kung Fu, and it was very, very progressive as well. So he really introduced me to lessons in mindfulness, which was his system of teaching people the introspective part of martial arts, teaching people how important meditation, how important the internal aspects of martial arts were. So, you know, I guess the way I like to describe it when people ask is that we do a stand-up position very similar to kickboxing. There's a little bit more angling, a little bit more side-to-side stuff that really comes from the Chinese influence. Our clinch work, there's some things that we do from Greco-Roman. There's some things that we do, certain locks and wrist grabs for self-defense, not so much cage stuff, that come from Aikido. And then a ground technique, we borrow heavily from Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because it's just so beautiful. And we try and do all those things on a physical level, but we all, at the same time, try and maintain that idea of teaching people the internal aspects of teaching them to meditate, which follows this 1,500-year martial art tradition that we believe in.
Right. Right. Now, as far as would you call yourself, obviously, of course, of martial arts, but are you a fan of, like, especially the Americanized mixed martial arts, UFC, that type of thing?
Well, I love it. I love watching it. It's an amazing sport. I mean, it's just a beautiful spectacle of seeing people push themselves to the highest levels. You know, sometimes there's the good and there's the bad, and I'll be happy to talk to you about both. But you know, what I absolutely love about it is, I love the purity of you know, you really get a sense for how hard somebody's trained and how hard somebody's worked and how much they've decided to prepare themselves to compete in these events. And I just tip my hat to them. I just think that they're some of the greatest athletes totally in the world. So I'm a huge fan of it. I love watching it, and it's a joy. And the people that I coach that participate in it, whether they win, whether they lose, I'm a little proud of the character that they display. It's just a neat thing. I really like it.
Now, you mentioned people you coached. You guys have your own fight team, is that correct?
We do. We are Team Kuroshi, and we're out of Toledo, Ohio. We have a group of pretty dedicated guys that participate in different things. We've sort of thrown our hat in this ring really in the last 2 years. We started participating actively, and we do events in Michigan, and we do events in Ohio, and opportunities from people that are in our dojo that want to participate in that. We have a process where they can kind of come in and watch some of the classes and then get involved in it and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. Now, the one last thing I just have to know, because now obviously it's an MMA related show and I can't just ask you about like what your favorite food is or anything.
What is your favorite food though?
Yeah. Okay, fine. What is your favorite food, Sensei?
What, liquid or solid?
Food is generally solid.
We'll go with solid.
Food. Solid, yeah. Liquid is usually
drink. What is my favorite food? I think it involves bacon. Who doesn't like bacon?
That's what I wanted to hear.
I heard a comedian the other day who said the funniest thing I ever heard. He said the pig is the most amazing animal in the universe because you give it an apple and it turns it into bacon. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. So I like bacon, but
the Roy Nelson School of Healthy Eating.
Some fine pork products.
I love it.
I'm kidding just a little bit, but I've been the last couple of months. I've been really working on. I do real low carb stuff, which is real funny when you do that because when you're doing low carb, you eat a lot of those things, and actually it's there's a whole body of science that talks about it, but it does some really, really good things for you. So I actually do watch what I eat, and I'm allowed to eat as much bacon as I want. So I like bacon.
The key to martial arts success, bacon.
There you go.
All right. Now, Do you have like one or two fighters in particular that you just love to watch? You know, you always enjoy their style or watching them fight.
Wow, there's so many, and there's so many that I respect for so many different reasons. I really, really, and it's funny because I was talking to one of my guys the other day, and he didn't like him very much, but I just really admire Georges St. Pierre. I just think, you know, he reminds me of the Lance Armstrong of the MMA world. I mean, he just comes so prepared, and he just does everything that he needs to do to be a confident professional in what he does. Very impressed with him. So I love watching him fight.
That's an interesting analogy.
I love the skill sets. You know, I like Anderson Silva just because I just think, you know, he may be this sport is still real young, but he may be on the cusp of being the Michael Jordan of the MMA world. I mean, the whole package that he's got is pretty outstanding.
Yeah, and well, you know. General, no, go ahead. No, please go ahead.
Just to finish. The other thing that's wonderful about the sport in general is that there is just always you're only one fight away from from defeat. And so, what's very exciting about the world is while there are the sort of that steady cast of characters, what's neat is there's always somebody new and there's always a new challenge. And so it's a very, very, very entertaining, very fun to watch. And the great thing about it for somebody that wants to be a new fan of it is they can jump in at any point. And you know, typically you get up to speed in just one or two events. So I think there's a lot of guys that are out there. It's just real hard for me to put one guy ahead of another, really, in a lot of ways. And one guy that's good this year, next year, who knows? But
right.
Those are a couple of guys that really are standouts in my mind.
Now, see, that was a somewhat loaded question. I kind of had an idea of what you were going to answer. But, you know, I had to pick on you because, you know, rather than accept my hospitality and come hang out at my house last night and watch the fights, no, you had to go out and corner your fighters. Whatever.
Yes.
But you'll have to watch the fight with Anderson Silva, and then we'll get you back on. You can give us your revised opinion.
Yeah, I didn't see anything yesterday. I was just completely lost to it all. So there you go.
Well, you sure, as of tomorrow, listen to our show, and we'll give you the rundown.
Oh, <geez. laughs>
All right. Sensei, thank you so much for your time, sir. It's been a pleasure speaking to you and having you on the show.
Go ahead.
No, you can do whatever you like.
Well, there's actually two things I want to say. One, I'd like to give myself a shameless plug. So can I
please
plug
do
something real quick?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
At our dojo, our new location at Fallen Timbers Mall, on May 15th, we're doing our official grand opening. We've been there for a couple of months, but we're having the mayor come out for the official ribbon cutting and all that. And, you know, we can talk about it another time, but you guys are more than welcome anytime out there. And that's going to be May the 15th, so I thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay.
And then the other thing isn't so much a plug, but it's just something I kind of wanted to say. And it was something I was thinking about a little bit. You know, I'm a huge sports fan. I love all sports, and I follow football quite a bit. And I watched the Super Bowl this year, but not just the Super Bowl, but I watched all of it. Pre-game stuff before the Super Bowl, and I saw these multi-million dollar players going into hospitals and cheering kids up that were losing hair from cancer. And I got to tell you, as a veteran martial artist, I mean, I'm just being really serious for a second. You know, the job the NFL has done to create these guys that throw footballs and catch footballs and run the footballs and to really create them into real American heroes is stellar. It's amazing. And I'm really looking forward to a day when we can look at more and more of our UFC stars the same way that we've looked at the Tom Brady's and the Peyton Manning's and many of the household names. And I think that's something that maybe is a little bit missing right now in sport. And I think it's possible, And I think that's what's going to bring that sport into middle America. And that's just something I just want to put my two cents in. I really hope that that happens someday.
Well, yeah, it happens a little bit. I know there are certain fighters. Well, our regular guest, Jens Pulver, he does a lot with that type of thing. Matt Hughes does it.
I know that's true. Yep.
And, you know, but definitely, yeah, you'd definitely like to see more and more of that, I know, just in general.
Yes,
and it not only is it's goodwill for the sport, it's just all around, I think it's just a good thing. So I agree
it
with
is.
You.
It is. It's a great thing.
All right. Well, everybody, we've been talking to Sensei Joe Hertzellers from the Ohio Martial Arts Center, ohiomartialarts.com. And you can go there and check him out. And, sir, I want to thank you very much for your time, and we look forward to having you back on sometime soon.
Oh, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks a lot. It's a real world privilege, and I'm looking forward to listening to your show for many, many years in the future. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Bye.
God knows I'm not looking forward to recording this show many, many years in the future.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to hire somebody to do it. What a nice guy.
He was. That was a good interview.
Yeah, that was good. Good.
Very nice. Very personal.
Derek asked a question. I was happy.
Okay.
But unfortunately, that question is the end of Derek's time, because now we're inviting Blake Bowman back on.
Oh, jeez.
Count the swear words in the first 5 minutes.
It's a drinking game.
Any bets on how many times he'll swear in the first 5 minutes that he's on the line?
Okay, as soon as he's on, I will keep track, and I will also mark down. Now, nobody tell him what we're doing.
No.
I'm going to say 15.
That's high. I'll go 5. I'll go average one curse word a minute.
Okay. Fine. For the first 5
Once
minutes.
Once we get rolling, it'll pick up. For the first 5, one a minute, I think.
All right. Well, we're only doing the first 5, so okay. Fine.
Kenny?
9.
He said 9.
9? Okay, so we got 5, 9, and 15. Let's do this. Clock starts when he picks up the phone.
How the hell are you doing, Blake?
How the fuck's it going, man?
I can't bait him.
Why not?
Because that's not fair.
No, that's not fair.
Hey, you reached the voicemail box of Blake Bowman.
Oh! Looks like we're all losing.
Well, closest.
Man, I just
if we're doing this like Price is Right style, I believe actually we all went over. So Sorry. All right. Well, do we want to wait a little bit and get him back on, or do we want to?
Well, you know, we might as well. I guess. Now, what are we going to spend more time on, UFC or Strikeforce?
Well, I imagine UFC.
So, do we want to do Strikeforce first, like the preview, or do we want to cover UFC?
Yeah.
What do we want to do?
I don't know.
Let's just get Strikeforce out of the way.
Fine,
crap for Strikeforce? Okay.
Yeah.
Strikeforce.
Crap. It's not even Strikeforce. It's just not UFC.
Not UFC event taking place at the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Tennessee. Starting at the bottom of the card, Thomas Campbell is taking on Cody Floyd.
Who?
All right. Chris Hawk taking on Ovince St. Proy.
Hawk, because that's an awesome name.
Hawk, because I like his name.
You guys haven't given a reason or pick either, so yeah.
Oh, no. I'm not knocking you, man. Fine. Hawk. Hawk it is. Why not? He's got a cool name.
Oh, sure, why not? Andrew Urich versus Dustin West.
West. It's easier for me to remember.
Long-lost brother Dustin Ortiz will be taking on Justin Pennington. Dustin Ortiz making his MMA debut on this goddamn card.
Pennington.
Wait a minute.
Justin Pennington making his MMA debut on this goddamn card, too.
I'll take Pennington, though, still. He might be Chad Pennington's brother or cousin or something.
Against Tito Ortiz's brother or cousin or something? Come on.
I don't believe it's really Tito Ortiz's cousin or brother.
Just look at the size of his head.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I wanted to see if I could find a picture of this guy, see if his head is big.
It's like an orange on a toothpick.
Josh Shulkman is going to be taking on Cale Yarbrough, not to be confused with Emmanuel Yarbrough.
Shulkman. I'll go Yarbrough.
I'm going Yarbrough as well. I guess we are going through this pretty quick. Zach Underwood taking on Hunter Worsham. The
Underwood.
Future. Hunter's is the future. I have to go with the future.
Hunter Worsham is Cal Worsham's kid. We talked about him last week.
That's right.
Oh, well, never mind. Hunter Worsham.
Yeah, I'll go Worsham.
Worsham. And Zach Underwood. Oh, no, we just did that one. Okay, sorry. All right, starting off our main card, which is three title fights.
You forgot Jason Mayhem Miller versus Tim Stout.
Oh, that's not on the card I have here. Okay, Mayhem.
They just made that official. Mayhem. Yeah, okay, Mayhem and some guy.
Yeah.
Mayhem. Good pick. All
right. Strikeforce Lightweight Championship. Gilbert El Nino Melendez will be taking on Shinya Aoki.
Melendez.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm going to go Melendez. That should be a pretty good fight, though.
Aoki.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going Aoki here, for sure.
Of course you are. Going with the Asian.
Going with the number two lightweight in the world, yeah.
See, I didn't call him Oriental. I said he was an Asian.
I don't know. Melendez is good, but Aoki's just really good at tying people up.
His nickname is El Nino.
Yeah.
You can't beat a guy named El Nino.
You know what El Nino means?
Apparently you can, actually.
No.
Because Josh Thompson did it, Mitsuhiro Ishida did it.
No.
Shinya Aoki's going to do it.
He does not accept those losses. He's like game bread. Those losses did not ever happen.
Okay.
All right, I'm going Aoki here. We'll see who's right.
Hospital. And Melendez. They don't accept losses. Did you lose? Nope. this just how Damian Maia does not accept his loss.
Okay.
Good for him.
All right. Gegard Mousasi will be taking on Muhammad King Mo Lawal.
And that's a title Mousasi. Fight?
Yeah, it's for the light heavyweight championship.
Oh, that's right, because King Mo said Mousasi doesn't hit that hard.
Yeah,
okay,
we'll
I'll go Mousasi.
I'll take the dream catcher.
Yeah, I'm going Mousasi here. He's just got too many options, too many different ways to be King Mo, and I just don't think King Mo's going to be able to get hands on him.
That's right up there with the People's Warrior. The dream catcher.
That's awesome.
And in our main event of the evening, Dan Henderson defeats Jake Shields by TKO, 3 minutes 27 seconds into round 2. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm writing that down, 327, because if that happens, I will pay you $300.
Oh, sweet kick ass. I should say random bullshit more often.
I'm saying it right here, right now. If Dan Henderson beats Shields 3 minutes 27 seconds into the first round,
round two.
I, Jeff Shootergram, will pay Paul Scorcher LaPorte $300.
Can it be like a five second leeway here?
3 seconds.
Between 342 or 340.
That's a good.
334 or whatever. I can't do math right now. 333 or 342. Come on. 5 seconds.
For the 5 seconds, you get 200. If you hit it on the head,
it's
you get
like 300. A bullseye thing. The further out I go, if I get within a minute, do I get like $10 or something?
No, sorry.
All right.
Oh, crud.
All right.
I'm using
Dan Henderson is going to win this fight, guys.
I think Henderson's going to win the fight. Just because, you know, honestly, I would give Shields more of a chance before the Mayhem fight, but I was so unimpressed with the Jason Mayhem Miller fight.
I would. No, you know, and in all seriousness, I don't want to dog Shields. Shields is a very, very good fighter. However, the guy's a natural 170-pound fighter. Taking on a guy who's fought and had a belt at 205.
Beating some of the best of all time.
Yeah. Henderson has much better wrestling than Shields. I don't see Shields submitting Henderson because he's going to be too strong. And Henderson has a monster right hand. I just don't see Shields avoiding all those things. And even if he does avoid them, I don't think he's going to be able to mount enough of an offense to get a decision over Henderson. Shields' MO, especially like we saw in that Miller fight, is to take a guy down and grind him or try and go for a submission. He's not going to be able to do that to Henderson. Henderson wins this by TKO, 3 minutes, 37 seconds in the second round.
All right, Derek?
I got to take Henderson. I wrote about this months ago.
Oh, did you?
I wrote about this months ago.
I'm sorry, I didn't remember.
Sorry, you're a writer?
I didn't know you could write. I didn't know that was something you did. I thought you just kind of hung out and waited for us to call you.
Anyways, Jake Shields, I think, has a better chance than people are giving him, but it's a lot like what Scorcher was saying. He doesn't have any of the right weapons to beat a guy like Henderson, unfortunately.
You
know, you say Shields has a better chance than people are giving him. What chance does he have? How can you see him winning this
Who
fight?
Who is giving him a chance?
No, I'm giving him a chance.
I'm curious. Okay, how would you see Shields winning this fight?
Sling a submission. I think he's got a puncher's chance. I think he's got a reasonable chance. Yeah,
better chance.
I think he's got a reasonable chance. I'm not saying, like I said, he doesn't have the right weapons to beat a guy like Henderson, though. I think he's got a shot. I don't really think he's going to do it, though.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Yeah, you know, he does. Yeah, I mean, you never know. Henderson might like trip coming into the cage and knock himself out or something.
No, his chin's
can
too
jump
good.
On top of him. Oh, that's right, his chin's too good. maybe Henderson will get carried away and like armbar himself.
Yeah, I mean, like
he gives himself a knee bar
submission. It's just you can't kind of like you. I guess you know you can flash a submission, but I mean it doesn't. You know, it's not as easy as getting tagged with a punch. And like I said, I just think Henderson's going to be too strong. I don't think Shields is going to be able to get anything on him because you know, Shields does a lot of his submissions from the top. Though he's kind of like BJ Penn in that you know he's a really good jiu-jitsu guy, but he's not that good off his back.
Right.
I don't see him getting top position on Hendo at any point. And I don't see him, like catching him with a triangle or an armbar or something.
Not unless just for fun Hendo decides to lay down in the middle of the cage and climb on top. Let's go, I'm bored. This bores me.
Maybe if Dan Henderson decides to break out some sort of interpretive dance while they're
Dan Henderson using the art of kabuki decides to baffle his opponent.
That's what we saw last night. Like, we could see it again. Who knows?
Dan Henderson has been practicing in capoeira for the last 3 months now. Decides to start using spinning back hook kicks.
Hey, why not? Whatever works. Dan, who's been hanging out with
Sean, a wrestler and a break dancer.
Oh, Christ.
Dan Henderson changes his name from Hollywood to Octopus Prime.
I would shoot somebody.
We need to have that guy on the show.
You know, like I said, I'm going, Derek and I more than likely are going to the April 24th Ground and Pound card for all you people out there who want to
attend. You think a guy named Octopus Prime is going to deny any publicity at all?
Oh, exactly. Even if he wins or loses, I will make contact with the mighty Octopus Prime and get him on the show. It'll
you
be
have
worth
fun with
it.
That.
Oh, no.
No, you elitist bastard. Don't you dare. We've had Andy Wang on the show, okay?
I can respect Andy guess. Wang, though. I can't. No.
I know. I can
How
too.
How can you respect Andy Wang?
Oh, I was joking.
We've had Andy Wang on, you elitist bastard. That's better yet, we've let you come on the show.
That's
what
true. You're the Octopus Prime of MMA Radio.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What
Paul
the?
Paul Laporte tells it like it is. You are the Octopus Prime of MMA Radio.
That's such bull.
You know I'm just playing, buddy.
I know. It's cool. I can't breathe. What are you being nice to him for? I know what you said when he wasn't on the air.
What don't I say about him when he's not on the air?
Pretty much what you say when he is.
I was going to say, what don't you guys say when I'm on the air? What difference does it make?
You haven't killed yourself yet.
No, I have no desire.
Oh, that's not nice. No, I'm not.
I've got a concussion. I can get away with saying pretty much anything. Ha ha!
I hate the Jews! Oh, it's concussion, sorry.
Well, see, I'm not even going to go. Because there's going to be someone out there who's got more time on his hands than I do, if that's possible. And he's going to get that sound bite of me saying something stupid.
This is why I'm not listening to Rear Naked Radio. And watch, we're going to get an email with 6 lawsuits tomorrow.
I certainly hope so.
You say that like we are going to get an email. No. Somehow the evil genius that is Paul Laporte makes sure only I get the emails that are going to sue us. Hey, Jeff Tudor Graham, we heard your show that apparently you do by yourself, and we are suing you. because there's a picture of the Octagon on your website, which, by the way, I did not design. Yeah. Yeah, right on, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I've said nothing negative thus far, so I'm not getting sued.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, are we going to try Bowman again, or are we just going
to... I've texted him twice. Yeah, well, let's try him one more time just to say we did.
Just to say we did. See, we called you. We tried calling you twice, man.
Oh, Christ.
It's too bad for us.
And this time I'm leaving a message if he doesn't answer.
Fair enough.
Like, why go to all the trouble of talking to me about coming on just to not answer your phone?
Mind games, man.
He texted
me. Legitimately be busy.
He texted me like 5 minutes ago.
Blake Bowman with American Top Team. You can leave me a voicemail and I'll return your call as soon as possible.
Whatever.
Or a better way to reach me would be to send a text message. Either way, have a great day and I will talk to you soon.
Unless you're a Naked Radio, which I'll not answer your text message.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Why would you leave?
Hey, Blake, it's Jeff Shooter Graham. I know if it was Jeff Sherwood, you would probably answer the phone.
Whoa!
You talked to those people. You texted me like 10 minutes ago, you jerk. You said you were coming on, and now you're not answering your phone. Why? Is it because we have Derek Kenny on? It probably is.
Oh, damn.
All right, man. Talk to you later. Bye.
No, we won't.
No, we won't. You won't call. Fuck you, Shooter.
Wow.
All right.
UFC 112 Invincible taking place at the Ferrari Concert Arena in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates.
I just like saying that, Abu Dhabi.
Keep thinking of the freaking place that Garfield sent Normal to.
What was with all the Sheik guys there, too, man?
Maybe the fact they were in the United Arab Emirates? I don't know. Might have something to do with it.
That was United Arab Emirates. I don't even know what that is. Oh, wait, people. I just got a text.
It'd be awesome if we called him again and he didn't pick up.
Oh, my God.
Screw up.
Oh, he says he's stuck in a bar.
Stuck in a bar?
Forget it. Screw
That's up. A new one.
Forget it. Let's go on. We tried. John Madsen taking on Mustafa Al Turk. Wins by unanimous decision.
Yep.
I think I called this one, actually.
I called this one.
And I believe Pulver did not. No, because you went with Pulver on this one.
Yeah, and no.
Said
we said
you called.
No, I said Al Turk was not. No, I didn't. Not in this.
Oh my
one.
God.
Not in this one. No, because I don't ever think Al Turk's going to win. So
has Al Turk won in the UFC?
I think he won once.
Okay.
I think he's like 1-3, 1-2, or 1-3 in the UFC.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
Paul Kelly defeats Matt Veitch by submission guillotine choke, 3 minutes 41 seconds into round 2.
I know I called Kelly. Wasn't that the fight Jens is like, I have no idea who these people are.
No, that wasn't it. It was a different one.
Oh, okay.
It was Story Nossip Zach. That's who it was.
Oh, that's right. Story Nossip. Okay.
DeMarcus Johnson defeats Bad Brad Blackburn by TKO body kick 2 minutes 8 seconds into the very third round.
Ow.
That's heavy stuff, man. Ding. That's the right on.
Rick Story defeats Nick Ossipzak by split decision. Surprised by this one. I thought Ossipzak was going to win, but it was close. So
I believe I called Story.
I believe you did, too.
Yep.
Phil Davis defeats Alexander Grumpy Old Man Gustafson by submission anaconda choke, 4 minutes 55 seconds into the first round.
Yeah, that was my crowning a moment in MMA radio, having you and Pulver sit there and cackle about, oh, Grumpy Old Man, you're right! Freaking losers, man. What the hell? Yeah, and I believe I called Walter Matthau on that one, so I lost.
Davis looked good. Guys, guy could be definitely a mover and a shaker if he keeps putting on performances like this. Especially in those tights, man. Those tights, I thought those tights were going to get him stoned in that part of the world. You know what I'm saying? It's just,
no, I thought Rochelle Leah walking around looking as good as she did was going to get her stoned.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, we were joking around. It's like they won fights in Afghanistan. They were joking around about how the ring card girls would be out there in burkas.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh, look at her ankles.
Shake those kneecaps, baby. All right. Not that we're racist or anything.
No, not at all.
Mark Muniz defeats Kendall Grove. Not that they're, like, you can find a sound clip of something saying I hate the Jews on this podcast. No, really. This is going for Hertzellership. Come on, huh? I'm glad he'll really want his name attached to this one. Mark Muniz defeats Kendall
Grove. On his website, but he probably won't this week, even though he's hot.
Mark Muniz defeats Kendall Grove by TKO punches 2 minutes 50 seconds into the second round. Holy crap, what a comeback. Kendall Grove was beating him like he caught him breaking into his house in the first round. And just totally turned it around. Yeah.
I did not steal your CD player! Bang!
I mean, just, you know, and like I said, just the fact that Muniz was, you know, signed on to be Black House's wrestling guy just made me think. It's like, you know, this guy could be dangerous, and he proved to be so. Not only did he survive a hellacious beating, which I imagine that, you know, he's used to getting that beating and training and then having Anderson Silva dance around him for 20 minutes. You know, so he was prepared.
And a break dancer.
But then he really poured it on Grove. And Grove has shown in the past, not to dog the guy, but if you put some pressure on him, he will fold.
He's like origami. He folds under.
He folds like a house of cards, man.
When the game's on the line, he's riding the pine.
What? Okay.
I love that voice. You should do the whole show with that voice.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Shooter Sack.
Awesome. Right. Rafael Dos Anjos defeats Terry Adam by submission armbar, also in a very good comeback. 4 minutes, 30 seconds into the second round. Adam was working over Anjos pretty good, had him in a tight guillotine choke, was turning his eyes red in the first round. Dos Anjos managed to come back and snag an armbar. I picked up this one.
I think I picked Dos Anjos. It was funny, though. Like I said, I had a little shindig at my house, and I don't remember who said it. My instinct wants to tell me it was our photographer, Brooks, but I don't think it was him. I don't know. But somebody goes, oh, of course. The Brazilian guy gets the submission. Big surprise.
Oh, it's got to be Brooks. It's got to be Brooks.
I don't know if it was or not, but it was pretty funny.
There's no way that's not Brooks.
The Brazilian guy gets the submission. Who in the hell does he think he is?
Sure, every American. Sorry.
Oh, you know, back in Philadelphia.
God, that was awful. Okay. Now business picking up. Matt Hughes defeats Enzo Gracie by TKO punches 4 minutes, 40 seconds in the third round, throwing his trademark vicious Matt Hughes leg kicks throughout the fight.
And dude, they worked.
They were good. I mean, Hughes looked good. You know, his stand-up's always been kind of woeful, but, you know, he was throwing. He was active, and Enzo just he was there to smile and wave, and I don't think he was there to fight, you know?
Yeah, he just didn't really ever look like he was in the fight. Big props to Matt, who, as far as I know, that was his first considered, like, knockout win, you know, or, you know, TKO, but, I mean, the first win standing.
Yeah, where he first standing, because, I mean, he TKO'd Enzo, and...
Right.
Hoist.
You know.
You mean Hoist?
Hoist. Well, he TKO'd Enzo, too. I wasn't wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, okay, it's kind of redundant, but sure, why not?
TKO'd BJ, you know?
Yeah, and he TKO'd him, too.
TKO'd Gil Castillo and Carlos Newton, and but Carlos Newton again, and Hayato Sakurai, and... Steve Gomm, whoever the hell he is. I'm just going through his whole record. Scott Johnson, he won't KO punch.
I think it was all on the ground, though. But yeah. Anyway, yeah, good fight. The first two rounds were more like a friendly sparring match. I was just off put by the whole thing. The fight
starts. Yeah, that's the thing, is
hugged Enzo.
Yeah, I mean that's hugged. You know, I get that these guys have respect for each other, and I totally appreciate that. But
oh, definitely,
you know, when it looks like it's, like you said, a sparring match, it looks like it's an exhibition. You know, between, it was like the Fedor Aoki thing. You know, I mean, it's like this isn't a, it's like you guys aren't taking this as a serious fight. And I don't think Enzo took it serious, and Hughes probably took it more serious than Enzo, but I still don't think he, you know, he went out there with the mentality he did against Sarah, or, you know, the times right. He fought Trigg, or when he was a welterweight champ. You know, he was welterweight champ. He was going out there to murder people.
Right.
Yeah. You know, he wasn't going out there to smile and wave and shake hands and hug, you know. You know, maybe he's at that stage, you know, maybe he's just at that stage in his career, in that point in his life, where he just doesn't have the anger in him anymore. And good for him if he doesn't, but just doesn't make for some very good fighting.
Well, I made this point last night also with another friend of mine. He did not, you know, Matt Hughes does not have to fight anymore.
No, he doesn't.
Right? He's got a very successful gym. He is a farmer on a successful farm, and you know, he's made millions fighting already. He really does not need to fight anymore. He just does it now because he wants to, which, you know, okay, I can kind of respect that. So. Whatever. But yeah, it just didn't seem like he was all about going out there and crushing somebody.
Yeah. Just, I don't know. I was disappointed by this fight personally. Just, once again, it's just, you know, these guys, here's a guy who's a great wrestler and a great jiu-jitsu guy and never gets to the goddamn ground. You know, it's like, I get it. You know, they don't want to play to each other's strengths, but still, Christ. And that means they're both using their weaknesses. It's just,
right. It's like trying to enter a dancing competition with Anderson Silva.
Yeah, really. Not going to go well for you.
Wow, hey, I just thought I'd mention this. I find it odd that Rings MMA is on Facebook right now.
That's right, I am.
Today, your Rings MMA? Confirming. I was just getting ready to log on, and all of a sudden I'm like, wow, we have all these friends.
Yeah, confirming a bunch of our friend requests.
Welcome, Fred Deer and Voss Brand.
That's right.
Fast brand, but, you know, I just thought it'd be different. Okay.
All right. Not. Frankie anyway. Edgar defeats BJ Penn. The king is dead. Unanimous decision. Controversy there. Abound.
Bullshit. Controversy.
Let's break this down, at least the way we saw the fight. So every single round was close. Neither guy had a really solid advantage. BJ Penn was using his usual game plan of working the jabs, sticking and moving. Mm-hmm. Avoiding any most takedown attempts, although Edgar did manage to get him to the ground a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
And Edgar was almost implementing a similar game plan, except there's more kicks, more more body shots, hooks. You know, he was mixing up, kind of using everything. The way I saw this fight, I had it the first two rounds to BJ Penn, and then the third, the fourth, and the fifth to Frankie Edgar.
Yep. Yeah, I would agree with that particular assessment. Yeah, I mean, BJ did not in previous fights with BJ, you know, you'd see him gas or maybe he'd be a little overconfident. He came in shape. He looked good. He was sticking and moving just like he normally does. But the thing is, Edgar was sticking faster and moving quicker and just, you know, varying his game. And at one point, it looked like BJ was a little like confused by the fact he just couldn't really get hands on Edgar at all.
You know, and this is the interesting thing, you know, and as cliche as it is, I really think, you know, Frankie had the answer for BJ Penn. He had the perfect game plan for Penn because he's, you know, he's utilizing his stand-up. He has very good boxing. He's not a power puncher. He's not KOing guys, but technically his boxing is very sound.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the times he did go for the takedown, he didn't make the mistake Diego did where he runs and backs him up against the cage, tries. He'd rush in, grab his legs. If he didn't feel like he was going to get it right away, he'd let go and back off.
Well, yeah, I think...
And go right back to his boxing, going back to picking him apart here and there. And if he, then he'd rush in, try and grab his leg. You know, he'd throw a kick and then try and grab a leg and go for a single leg. If he didn't get it right away, he gave it up and went back to the boxing. It made it look like he was being more active. BJ was on the defensive, on the back foot more. And it showed in the judges' eyes, so much that one of the judges gave it 50-45 for Edgar.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the main reason he kept doing that was he wasn't even really he didn't even really want the takedown that bad. I think he just wanted to keep BJ thinking, keep him, like you said, really confused. Where the hell is he going next? Is he going for a take? Nope, kick the head. He threw about 1,000 freaking feints. And my argument right now for everybody who's saying that Penn won that fight, Penn got robbed, whatever. Penn got more damage in that first round against Edgar than he has in his last four fights. Edgar, while he didn't do crazy knockout power, landed his shots, was very sound, and did some damage. So I can't understand how people are saying that Penn got robbed. If you saw the fight for Penn, yeah, okay. I could easily see Penn getting 3 or 4 of those rounds. I mean, they were close, but in no way, shape, or form did he get robbed.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I agree. Yeah. I think a lot of people are really crying foul. You know, some people are saying, oh, this is a worse ripoff than Shogun and Machida and all this. Honestly, you know, if the fight got scored for BJ, I wouldn't have been upset.
Yep.
That being said, there's nothing. What did BJ Penn do in that fight? And I know people are going to point to the fight metric stats that BJ landed a bunch more than Edgar, but in reality, he's just slipping little jabs and popping them with little jabs here and there. That's not what can win you a fight. There's other aspects to that. You know, and even though BJ may have connected with a few more punches, Edgar was clearly the more aggressive guy, especially in those last three rounds. And he was the better fighter that night. And I don't know if it was because BJ was off his game or if Edgar just had the perfect game plan. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the rematch. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm. You think he'll get an immediate rematch?
Not immediate. They'll probably have one fighter in between. And who knows? Maybe it'll never happen. Maybe BJ decides he wants to move up to 170. I don't know.
Who do you think they'll have for Edgar next?
Gray Maynard's the immediate name that's being bandied about.
Yep, that's what everyone's talking about.
I could see it.
And unless, you know, and maybe Kenny Florian gets another shot. That's probably a little too early for that.
Go, Kenny!
That'd be an interesting fight, for sure.
Yeah, it would.
You know, it's tough to say right now. It's still pretty close. We'll see.
Yep. Do we got to talk about the last fight?
Wow.
Yeah, we got to talk about it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Anderson Silva defeats Damian Maia by unanimous decision.
Via breakdancing?
Yeah. not a lot to say about this fight, other than Anderson Silva, you know, spent the first two rounds taunting and dancing around
And breaking Maia's nose.
Oh, yeah, and landed a good switch flying knee and busted his nose wide open. You know, he's taunting, clearly visibly frustrated that Maia wasn't engaging with him as often as he would have liked. Then the third round comes, and it switches up a little bit. Maia at least tries to press forward a little bit, and Anderson starts backing off. Fourth round, Maia presses a little bit more, and then the fifth round, Maia's really going for it. He's trying, despite the fact that he's got a broken nose, and by this point his left eye had almost completely swollen shut, he was really going at Anderson, and he was really trying for anything, for a takedown, for punches. He was going at him like he desperately wanted to win this fight. Anderson was having none of it, ran from him the whole time, threw a shot here, threw a shot there, and got the victory. Shooter, what do you think about this fight, man?
Man, you know, this fight really troubled me. Number one, anyone who's listened to the show knows this, and if you haven't, then this is your first time. I'll be happy to tell you. I'm a huge Anderson Silva fan. As far as out-and-out skill set goes, especially for stand-up striking, I'm in awe of the man. And the first two rounds, even though I didn't agree with the whole taunting, shucking, jiving, breakdancing, whatever the hell he was doing, you can't deny. I mean, I can't think of another fighter in the world who could do what he was doing. I mean, and it's not that Maia was, you know, a prolific puncher, obviously, but the bottom line was Silva made it abundantly clear to anyone, my 11-year-old daughter who was sitting watching the fight with me, and she's like, why doesn't he just knock out that guy? He can, you know he can. I was like, exactly, you know he can.
My five-year-old. I could just see that. Your little 11-year-old being like, you're sitting there like a scotch. You're like, I know, right? What's up?
Here, girl, have a drink of whiskey and be someone. It'll put hair on your chest.
flight of stairs.
Shut up, dude. I haven't. Okay, right now, I'm clearing up. This has nothing to do with fighting, but I have to say this. All right, I need eardrum reconstruction. This is no joke. I have to have my eardrum rebuilt.
And how did you bust your eardrum?
I honest to God have no idea.
Falling down a flight of stairs. Sorry.
No, I swear to God, I don't know. I literally have no idea.
It's not a good sign that you don't remember how you busted your eardrum.
Anyway, well, shooter plays rough.
You know your life has taken a wrong turn somewhere when you can self-diagnose a concussion and you don't know how you busted your eardrum. When those two things happen in your life, you may want to take stock of the events that are going on around you. That's
you know, I'm not sure, but I think I was struck from behind with a heavy object in the last August.
Oh man, I still gotta dig that clip up. Hi, right, welcome to this. This is just oh, girl.
Yeah, you know it's hard for me to pretend to be a badass when like a wad of paper fells me. I'm like, oh. Never be in the same studio as Paul Laporte.
That's awesome. We'll
attack you.
Cheap shot.
Cheap shot. Hit me in the back of the head with a wad of paper.
Sorry.
But anyway, so that's why I fell. I lost my balance. That being said, okay, and my life has not turned out bad just because you know what, a lot of people...
I'm not saying it's bad. You just might want to take a second look at some of the things that are going on.
Anyway, as far as the fight goes, I was really disturbed that Anderson didn't put him away. It wasn't that he couldn't. You know, people are like, "Oh, yeah, Anderson sucks." I love this. People who were like just talking about him as the second coming are now like, he sucks because he couldn't put Mayu away. Don't be fooled, people. He probably could have put Mayu away before they walked out to the frickin' octagon with the power of his mind. Just like he made Patrick Cote's knee implode, he could have put Mayu away.
Well, I don't know. I think in ways he did kind of beat Mayu ever before he got into that cage. But
well, no, that's a good point. Mayu looked beaten
you
when
know,
he got
in. Yeah, and that's exactly it, you know, and I totally echo your sentiments as far as, you know, Anderson clearly technically is a master. He's so far above everybody else in his division and other divisions as well that he doesn't even need to try. However, you know, it does, you know, there's one side that says that, on the other side says that, you know, he couldn't finish a guy who had a busted nose and who was half blind by the end of the fight.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, you don't need to try, but could you try anyways?
Yeah. Could you please? Well, that's the whole thing that's baffling. I mean, I get it. He was clowning in the first couple rounds, but you know what? He could have just, the last three rounds, he really didn't do anything. He ran. He literally ran, not ran like I'm scared. At one point, I was telling Scorcho about this before we went on the air. Derek, did you actually see the fight or did you just do the recap?
Recap.
Okay. Well, then you probably wouldn't have noticed this, but at one point, I think it was during the fourth round, maybe it was during the fifth, the bell rings, Silva comes out, and the referee, Dan Mirgliata, moves to the right, and Silva cuts right. And so Mirgliata looks back, sees him, cuts left. So Silva cuts left, and he's hiding behind Mirgliata, literally.
Oh,
just
my
with
God.
A big grin on his face. And Mirgliata stops, turns around, pushes Silva on the shoulder, and smiling, is like, come on!
Which is really unprofessional by Mirliata as well, but
it is. But at this point, the whole fight that's what it had degenerated to.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, if you look closely at the front row, you can see Dana White strenuously trying to grow hair just so he can rip it out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was insane.
Yeah, it
just
was
insane.
I don't know. Look, I give a couple months ago when Anderson fought. Talis Latis, I gave him a pass because Talis didn't want to fight. He didn't engage. He pulled guard about 1,000 times.
Right.
This fight I baffles me. Silva could have put him away at any point. He clearly the superior fighter. I don't understand why he didn't push the fight, try to finish the fight. Even if he didn't want to finish the fight, at least, you know, engage.
You know, and that's the thing, too, is that Silva, you know, he dogs fighters for not, you know, coming in to fight him or, you know, whatever. But it's like, you know what? When when you knocked Maia down and he fell back, you know, on his back, you know, with an open guard, you didn't jump into that guard, did you? I mean, yeah, He's not engaging you, but you know what? Yeah. This is where you're absolutely the most dangerous. You're not following people to the ground, so you're not engaging them either. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
I said this earlier before we got in the show. Let Silva fight wherever he wants, because clearly he has no desire to fight at 185 anymore. Let him fight at 205. Let him fight at heavyweight. Let him go down to 170 if he really thinks he can make it and he wants to fight GSP. Fine. Whatever he wants, because at this point, it's just going to be another freaking joke. He has not had an impressive, dominating finishing performance since March 3rd, 2008, when he choked out Dan Henderson.
Like I said, though, he's only had three fights since then at middleweight, and I mean, his last performance was a dominating, crushing performance. It was just a light heavy.
Right. Yeah. Oh. Well, that's part of the thing, though. That's what I'm saying. He wants to compete at 205 more than he wants to compete at 185.
Well, yeah, but you take a look at his last three fights in middleweight, though. It was against Patrick Ote, who blew his knee out. He couldn't help that.
Right.
Although he was doing kind of his funky chicken routine at the beginning of that, too. Right. And then you had Lytus that, of course, I can't take credit for that one. I've heard that one around. And then you have Lytus, who, you know, of course, we talked about before. And then this one, I don't know if it's a lack of... I think Sonnen will get him fired up. If Sonnen can make it to a title shot, he's going to get him fired up. Belfort probably might. I still think there's a couple fights on the horizon that Silva can get fired up for. I hope I'm right.
I don't know. I hope you're right, too. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm an idiot. You know, I don't know. But when the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world can't get fired up for a fight, what are you watching for?
Yeah, true. I mean, Dana made the comment that Silva's going to be the first fighter ever to defend his belt on a prelim. I guarantee it's not going to go that far, but we won't see him main event for a good long while until him and GSP.
Yeah.
I honestly do not think we will see a main event with Anderson Silva until him and GSP.
So. Yeah.
So there.
All right. That was interesting, though. You know, I mean, how do you feel if you're Anderson Silva? And I know afterwards, yeah, he throws himself down on the ground and bows down to Maia. And Maia, for what it's worth, did not shake Silva's hand afterwards, which
I
was
totally okay. I give more props to Maia.
Yeah, no, so do I. I think it was totally. And afterwards, Silva's like, you know what? I wasn't. I don't know what happened to me in there. I wasn't as respectful as I should have been. Well, no shit. It was pathetic, man. You know, Anderson Silva, and I hate to sound like a whiny child, but he's one of those people that when people talk to me about how, oh, I thought that UFC was anything goes blood sport, you know, and, you know, all that stuff, how people still have that conception. He was one of the guys I always pointed to. And I'm like, no. Like, watch Anderson Silva. You watch this guy fight and you tell me this isn't professional. Well, I can't do that anymore. You know, it's just lame. And I don't know what's going to happen with him. People are saying, well, you know, he's going to get cut from the UFC's roster.
No.
For Christ's sakes,
no.
You know, people are like, Dana had made the quip about how he's going to be the first champion to ever fight on the undercard. That's never going to happen either. Although Paul had said, you know, he's not going to headline a card for a long time, and I agree with that. I just don't think they can build one around him now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at. But, hey, you know. All in all, I was disappointed with the event as a whole, but mostly just because of the fact that that fight was just such, pardon my language, it was a clusterfuck. it was really disappointing for me.
You know what the real shame is everybody in the world right now is talking about Anderson Silva and Damian Maia and how this was a complete freaking joke. You know what everybody should be talking about? If Frankie Edgar beats the best lightweight ever.
And that's the thing. Frankie's not even getting the credit he deserves for that.
No. That's a shame. That's a damn shame.
Yeah, it is. You know?
Frankie Edgar, Jens Pulver 2.0. You watch.
Hey, you know what? I'm really... Actually, Jens, I talked to Jens last night. Yeah. And he was all... He goes, you know, Frankie's a really hard worker, and he clearly won the fight.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you this, man. I'm not rubbing anything in on anyone listening, but I am a blessed man. You know why? Because number one, I have a beautiful, hot, smoking, gorgeous wife who loves me for whatever reason. I got three genius kids that, thank God, look like their mother.
I can self-diagnose a concussion.
I can self-diagnose a concussion, and I can watch a UFC event, and at any time I want, call Jens Pulver, former lightweight world champion, on the line and just say, hey, dude, are you watching this shit? And he goes, yep. And we can sit and talk about it, man. It's my life is awesome. Oh, not only that, but, life is good. I'm just happy. I'm a happy person, and I thank the two of you. Yes, Kenny, even you.
And if Blake, I was about to ask.
If Blake were here, hey, man, you're my fight buddy. When I go see fights, most of the time it's with you.
So. Paul's kind of far away, you know.
Oh, excuses, man, excuses. He was all happy about WEC. I've got some money problems.
Oh, yeah, my wife's having back surgery.
It was neck surgery. Spinal fusion, clown.
Spinal fusion's back. Neck to back. It could be either neck or back.
It was the front of her neck. So there was no back about it. Okay. But anyway, that's okay. One of these days, maybe even this summer, we'll get Scorcho to come to Toledo. He can come to an event, and we'll go meet Derek somewhere in the Great White North, wherever he lives.
Welcome to my shed.
You want some beaver?
He is some beaver. The Unabomber. Derek Kenny, the real Unabomber. I knew something was up last time I went to a ground and pound car with him. He asked me, shooter, could you drop this in the mail?
I thought you'd be more thrown off by me, you know, say, hey, come look at my car. Looks like shit.
Dude, honestly, like I said, you know, I'm a pretty good-sized guy. I've been around martial arts most of my life and wrestling. I know I can handle myself, but I'm not going to lie. Derek Kenny looks at me the first night I ever met him. He's like, hey, man, why don't you come out and look at my car? I'm like, okay.
Clearly he's mistaking you for a mechanic.
No, I was making sure I wasn't like a murder victim. Yeah. Or
I got puppies in my van.
Do you want a puppy shooter? How about a kit? I've got a kit.
Oh, God.
In my serial killer van. All right. Well, I think it wasn't a van. It was a very smashed up car.
Is it Pinto? Although,
no. It's a Ford. And, yeah, it's a Ford. But, hopefully, Derek, you can round yourself up a new vehicle and come to this card on the 24th. And for all of those of you listening, Ground to Pound Promotions up in Michigan currently, and I'm not afraid to say it, they're my current up-and-coming favorite AMI organization. And they're going to be there. I know Shannon and TJ from Fight Michigan are good friends of the show. They're going to be there, too. And, of course, you know, I'll be there, and you can come up and say hi to me and get your picture taken like that means anything. And unfortunately, I'm about out of swag, so I'll have to go do some shopping here soon or maybe find a sponsor or something. I don't know. Give me some shirts. But anyway, yeah, so that's that. And do we have anything else, gentlemen?
I don't think so.
Nope.
All right. Well, I want to thank Joe Hertzellers of Ohio Martial Arts coming out. Be sure to go check him out at ohiomartialarts.com. Beat him by pop.
Check us out next week. Top one. Ringzomea@gmail.com. Shooter, I hope your head gets fixed.